Current state on 90.5 WKAR. While for some media outlets, photography is taking a back seat, at National Geographic, it continues to be a central part of the brand. The photos featured in the magazine not only take readers around the world, but they also help tell the story of our changing environment. Dennis Dimmick is the executive environment editor at National Geographic. He'll be speaking at MSU's Fate of the Earth inaugural symposium on April 3rd. Current State's Emmanuel Berry spoke with Dimmick about covering climate change and his love of photography.
How were you introduced to photography? Was it part of your early childhood or something you discovered later in life?
I was introduced to photography actually when I was very small. My grandfather, my mother's father, was a physician and had cameras and was always photographing us and then showing us the pictures that he made in his dark room. And I never really fully pursued it until I was in college. I did a few things when I was in grade school and high school. For example, I had a 4-H potato project where I actually did panoramic pictures of the field, and I would take black and white pictures and go to the drugstore with a roll of film, bring the prints back, and then tape them together and create panoramic multi-image pictures. But it was actually in college when I first got serious about it. I wanted to do it, had never explored it, and it was about the time that Time Life came out with a beautiful library of books on photography, the Time Life Library of Photography. And about that time, I went, oh, well, I can read these books and learn how to do it. And so I bought a used camera, and then I had a college roommate who saw that I was interested in it, and he introduced me to the news editor at the student newspaper at Oregon State. And by the time I was actually a sophomore, I had been doing it for less than a year. I was taking pictures for the student newspaper.
Photography is so central to National Geographic, and including in this coverage of climate change that you guys do. What do photos share, or what are photos able to tell people that words alone cannot about climate change?
Well, photography can bear witness, and photography can actually show change. And you can take a picture from one time period and pair it with another picture from a later time period, and you can say, see, the world is changing. We did this in 2007. I began working with Jim Balog, the photographer who has since gone on to create Extreme Ice Survey. He was featured in a film last year called Chasing Ice, and it's this whole story of documenting global change through the changing glaciers of the planet. And it's all about being able to show change. It's about being able to show how people are being affected. Photography communicates in a different way than words do, in the sense that words can cumulatively paint a picture of a scene in the mind of a reader, and a photograph actually can do that instantaneously. And then it's more than just one picture, but it's like what we try to do is imagine that what we're doing really is producing a documentary film in still images. And so it is a way for us to, we use the moment of in a photograph to cause people to stop and contemplate, but then we're also using a series of photographs to help create a sense of witness, to help people have a sense of actually having been there with the photographer who's bearing witness for them. Of course, words can do that same kind of thing, but it's more of an accumulative kind of impact. And great writing, some of the best writing that we have is the kind that paints pictures in people's minds, creates scenes, transports readers to the place with them, but our best photography can also do that instantaneously.
For many people, National Geographic is a standard. Everyone has those yellow bindings, stacks of them.
Sure.
On shelves. And it, when you flip through it, just kind of seems like the ideal or the dream job. Has it been a dream job for you? Is it a dream job?
for me, it's been a fascinating experience because I've been able to essentially create my own existence. The work that I do is really not something that somebody told me I was supposed to do. It was work that I wanted to do and wanted to, I mean, it's basically like somebody who keeps coming up with their own projects for 20 years to get to convince people here that we need to do a story on soil conservation or to do a series of stories on climate change or to a series on global food security that runs for 8 months. That's kind of what I've been trying to do, and it's fabulous to be able to come up with ideas and create constituencies and enthusiasm for projects and then see them come to fruition. So it's really, I mean, it's all about being a change agent.
What are your thoughts on the coverage of climate change? Is media doing enough to talk about these concerns and potential issues in the future?
The coverage of climate change is a very difficult topic for news media because it's not just climate that you have to address. You actually have to make sense of it. You have to take a step back and speak to why is the climate shifting? Why are we seeing changes in the behavior of the climate system? And it all comes down to what choices society makes as far as energy. Of course, there's impact from land transformation, carbon dioxide and methane emissions from disrupting landscapes, deforestation, and that. But the prime drivers, I mean, if people are willing to accept the role of science in society, scientists say carbon emissions from the fuels that we are burning are the dominant driver of the changes that we're seeing in the behavior of the climate system. So if that's the case, it's really not just a story about covering the changes in the climate. You have to draw the circle of consideration big enough to speak to the causation behind the changes. And that lands squarely at the choices that we're making in terms of energy that we make. It's difficult because it's one thing to say, oh, well, things are warming up, we're seeing more extreme weather, ice is melting, seas are rising. It's another thing completely to say, well, and what are we going to do about it? We're going to actually change the whole world energy system. So it's not just a story about covering climate change. It's like energy and climate are two halves of the whole. And when you start talking about how you're going to go about changing the way we use energy, that's a different question than identifying what the problem is. Then it becomes an economics question. It becomes a policy question. It becomes a money question. It becomes a vested interest question. It becomes a question about, well, it took us a very long time to build the infrastructure that we currently have to power the world, whether it's digging up coal and burning it to generate electricity or to pump oil out of the ground. It turns wheels, and it's a great fuel for turning wheels. But then the question is, how can you create alternate systems that are also going to be, over time, cost-effective and scalable to replace the existing systems? And it took us decades and centuries to get where we are. If people think we're just going to, like, all change our light bulbs and drive hybrids, that's not going to do it. It's a huge scale problem, and it's going to take a long time.
You'll be at Michigan State University on campus on Thursday as part of the Fate of the Earth inaugural symposium. And actually, one of your first environmental talks, as you were saying, was given at MSU 10 years ago. Right. What are some of the issues you plan to cover in your discussion this time around?
This time, what I'm going to try to do is lay out an emergent idea called the Anthropocene Epoch, which is it is by no means a formal thing, but it's an interesting way to think about the relationship of the human condition to the planet that supports us. Some scientists, geologists have proposed that there be a new kind of geologic era, epoch, here at the end of the Holocene, meaning that it's this era of man, the one where we as a species are actually so significant in our presence and impact on the planet that we are, that this really, it's our planet to manage now. And what happens to our future is also going to be determined by choices that we make now. And largely this talk will be, it's a provocation. I'm trying to basically lay out the best of our knowledge as to what we're doing, but I'm also going to talk about what are some of the, you know, the choices and the opportunities.
Well, Dennis, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much for your time.
Great. Thank you so much, and I look forward to seeing all of you.
Dennis Dimmick is the Executive Environment Editor at National Geographic Magazine. He'll be speaking at the Fate of the Earth Inaugural Symposium on Thursday. The event is open to the public and is being held at the Kellogg Center. For Current State, I'm Emmanuel Berry.